This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
I am talking to Miss Joan Ilma Massey on the 20th of May 2017 at 10:59 in her home at... Joan, would you like to tell me a little bit about your RAF history and your life?
Well, as you know, my daddy was Army, and I was born in India in the Hyderabad Deccan in a military hospital where my grandmother, who was a cousin of my mother's, was the matron. And we all grew up in India. There were four brothers and us three girls. My brothers have departed this world. And my elder sister lives in Scotland, in Campbelltown. She's a widow now, but she has three boys. And my younger sister lives in Camberley, Mercia, with her son. And we get on in a family, you know, as usual. But I prefer to live my own life. And I think I joined the WAFs in 1940, when war had been about 6 months and still halfway there. And it was at West Drayton where they were recruiting. And can I give a laugh? Because we had to, the tailor went down and telling us what size uniforms we had to wear. And he told me I had a size 12. And he came along, he looked at me and looked at my feet. Oh my, my his skirt was on my ankles. And because I was only seven, it was 1940, and I was up Aldwych. That's where they had the Air Force office there or something at Aldwych. And I was with my mother. I don't know what we were doing, just wandering around, I think. And I said, shall I join, Mum? And she said, yes. So I joined. And I think, you know, fill in the form. Then they called me to West Drayton. And there was all us girls in civvy dresses and shivering like nobody's business. I had a beautiful red blouse on, I think, at the time. And we were all lined up, and the tailor came around and was telling us what size uniform we had to wear. And he said to me, a number 12, which was the smallest. Then he said, oh my. So I looked down, oh my, my skirt was round my ankles, not on. And they had to take it in to an 18-inch waist. But we did 2 weeks Jenkins at West Drayton, and a guardsman from the Grenadier Guards was teaching us how to march left, right, and the girls were putting the wrong arm up and the right arm up and this arm up. And but we all got there. I think we had biscuits, what they call biscuits, on the beds where we had. And I was fortunate. They had the heaters, my bed was just opposite it, so everybody used to congregate in the winter months on my bed, and before they all went to sleep. But I think I enjoyed it. And what do we come to? From Harrogate, I went to Newmarket and spent some time there with a civilian. Then they called me up about, I don't know how long, just before when the war ended. But we were surrounded by the air, like New Zealand, Australians, and the air bases and things like that. And we used to go to their dances and whatnot, and in a lorry, as per usual. When they declared war was over, I'm not quite sure. No, where was I? Windsor. I was punting on the punts with two other wafts. One fell in the river. We had to fish her out. And, because we were in civilian houses those days. They sort of made... I used to have breakfast. My hostess used to give me breakfast. And then I had to go to the canteen and eat. And, of course, Joan never liked what they used to dish up. And I'd walk past, "Massey, come back here." So I had to take my plate of meat, which I didn't like, and the cereal. And we had a Scots boy from Glasgow. He was as thin as a rail, but could he eat from his head to his toes? He never got fat, so everybody would push, and he'd eat their meals if they didn't want it, you know. After that, I think the last 18 months or left, I lived at home at 89 in Kew Gardens with my granny, because the money they paid me to live out helped my grandmother, you see, with the food and whatnot. But we never went short. I won't say anything about that. As I said, I was demobbed. I wandered around doing nothing very much. And then I said I was going to New Zealand. And I travelled out to New Zealand. It was wartime conditions still on the boat. It was the Rangitata, I think. Very small ship. And I had a lady with a baby in the bunk above me. I was in the bottom bunk, and we fought like cat and dog because she kept on having the baby on my bed. But I joined all the other youngsters. Then we'd sit up on the deck. They were going to send me down to the bottom of New Zealand on the second island. What is it called? I said, no way. I'm not getting on another ship. So they sent me to Whanganui. And I worked there as a domestic sort of thing, cooking and whatnot. and enjoying it. Then I left that after 6 months, and my boss, somebody I knew, had a drawing office, so I went in to the drawing office, and we were busy drawing little houses and putting the... I always put them in the wrong way. I'd put the drain going east instead of going west because we're on a slope or anything like that. But then I think I came home, stayed a couple of years at Mortlake Avenue, and went to Canada. And I went to Regina and worked for Shell Oil. Well, I told them to keep the job, but they gave it to me. And I stayed a couple of years with Shell Oil and took off for Malacca. Because my second brother was a rubber plantation. And I stayed with Pam and Hugh and the girl. And we lived on a rubber plantation. Oh, God, that was dreadful because we were surrounded by barbed wire and everything. Pam and I came home with the... And Hugh followed us afterwards. I worked in Whitehall. I don't know what I was doing, don't ask me. And watching all the parades and everything, and from the windows. And I took off for Canada. I worked in Regina, where I told them they could keep the job, but they gave it to me. And we had a sort of a cousin there, a distant cousin, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. They always called me a pommy. Oh, what was the Canadians called you? You called the New Zealanders called you a pommy. And I kept on saying, I'm not a pommy because I wasn't born in England. And they couldn't get the connection. When I said I wasn't born in England, I was born in India, they could still kept calling me a pommy. Let them get on with it. I didn't mind so much. I turned round one day and called one of them a very rude word. Unfortunately, they shut up after that. Then I came home, stayed a couple of years, went to Canada. I worked for Shell Oil in Regina. I took off for Malacca after some time, and we had to travel across France. The French railways, I think, have improved since. And we got home. Oh, what was I doing? We went to lived at Mortlake with Granny, and Granny died, didn't she, about that time, after a little while. I can remember her saying, it's your mother's birthday, and promptly doing that. So I was left to do everything because my brothers and Ailsa, my elder sister, didn't want to know. So I had to do all the arrangements. and got, and then I took off for Canada. Use of those telephones, because we could phone home, you see, to our family or anything like that and say, hello, how are you? And my mother, we were living in Mortlake, and she'd be outside the house. And these bloody bombs, pardon me, going overhead. And you could hear it all coming down and everything. And one time, the Yanks were at the back of us. They had a Yank unit there. And they got hit. You should have heard the commotion going on. We had a dog called Fang and a Scotty. And Fang always knew when the bombers were coming over, because he'd go straight into the basement 1 hour beforehand. And we'd say, the bombers are coming. Get down, Granny. We'd take my grandmother down into the cellar and things like that. And well, that was it, really and truly. They bombed the Yanks, and of course we lost all our windows. They all came in, and my eldest brother was in the house at the time. There he was, walking around without his shoes on. Granny doing the same thing. Me yelling at them. Harris. He went to South Africa. He emigrated to South Africa after the war. Bomber Harris. And he always rode that big white horse. And as I said, every time we saw that thing, we all turned tail. Yeah, he emigrated after the war to South Africa, Bomber Harris. But he was okay, I think. But we never bothered too much, really, because we were only, as I used to say, we were only irks. Really and true, the lowest of the low. That's it. In 1945, I was demobbed. I think I stayed about a year at Kew, and I took off for New Zealand then.